Hello there, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Mike the Gardener Gardening Podcast, sponsored as always by those rather lovely people at Natural Grower. Now, Natural Grower supply plant-based products for both organic and chemical-free gardening and your houseplants. They're absolutely crammed with certified organic growing power, and if you're looking for amazing results with all of your fruit and veg, your flower beds and houseplants, then Natural Grower's award-winning, certified, organic, peat-free compost and fertiliser are the very best you can buy. And your plants and gardens will love you for using it. All products are certified organic, they're 100% chemical-free and 100% peat-free. And those rather lovely people at Natural Grower have given me an exclusive 15% discount off all products for my listeners. Just pop MIC15 into the apply coupon field when you check out. Well, hello there, and welcome back to another brand new episode of the Mike the Gardener Gardening Podcast. Now, I know those of you who dabble on social media, and there's quite a few of us, I can see you all, will know what a fantastic garden community there is on that platform. And it's a platform that I'm very proud to be a part of alongside a lot of you. A couple of years ago, I became aware of the lovely lady who I'm chatting to today. And I know many, many of you follow her for her fantastic account, which showcases plant propagation, gardening hacks, and money-saving tricks like no other account. And so today, Anja, the garden fairy, Anja Lautenbach, has a brand new book for us all, and I'm taking time to chat to Anja about her career, her exciting new book, and all about her gardening journey. Here we go, I've used the J word already. So, without any further ado, here is our chat. Anja Lautenbach, the garden fairy, welcome to the Mike the Gardener Gardening Podcast. An absolute delight to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much.
Now, I'm going to read some numbers to you. I'm not sure how much the numbers mean to you. The queen or the fairy of social media, with a following of over 460,000 on Instagram, Facebook over 680,000, TikTok 60,000. I mean, that's incredible numbers. Do the numbers mean much to you? Are they important?
Well, I think they mean something different to me than you or most people would expect. I always think of the numbers as the numbers of the difference that I can make. And I give you an example. So the numbers mean to me how many moths will be saved. And the numbers mean to me how many plastic pots will be reused and recycled instead of purchased new. So I think that they do mean something to me.
Yeah, because putting your word out is so important. Now, also, you say in your bio, powered by ADHD, which I'd like to touch on later, the princess of propagation, and now the writer and author of your brand new book, The Money Saving Gardener, published by DK Books on the 8th of February, a copy of which I have in my hand. And someone who loves propagation, I love it. It's just wonderful. So we'll talk about the book in great detail later. Where did you start? Where did your gardening journey start?
I think it started when I was as a little girl, you know, especially when we talk about propagation. I got into propagation when I was a little girl, and I experienced it from a different angle because I was watching my mum propagating. So I would always see our cuttings on our windowsills. And then I got into it when I was about 12. And I remember it very well because I was invited by my friend's mum to a spa where she was staying. So my friend and I, we went to the spa, and they had this amazing, it was on the Baltic Sea where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And they had this most amazing, or like an orangery, you know, with lots of amazing plants. And I remember, obviously, I wouldn't do it now, but I remember leaving that spa with loads of cuttings in my pocket. And I don't recommend doing it now, but I remember I was so excited. And I came back home, and obviously, I told my mom. She said, well, it's not the best thing to do, but now let's just propagate from them. And that was when I was 12. And since then, I've never stopped.
And I seem to remember you telling me a while back that your mum said to you that you could grow a plant from a stick.
Yes, she used to. So obviously, I got into propagation, and I just loved it so much. And as you mentioned, with ADHD, is that we people with ADHD can hyper focus. So if something interests me, I would just take it to another level. So I used to grow constantly, taking cuttings. And what I loved in particular was rescuing plants, because I like the progress. I like seeing things developing and feeling like I'm in control. So I would really, maybe not sticks, but my mom used to joke, and she used to say, just give Anya a stick and she will grow a lovely plant from it.
So you learnt a lot from your lovely mum, who you dedicate the book to. And I wondered how much of what you do now is your own sort of, because you're quite intuitive when it comes to propagation. You just have a knack for it. Has it all come from your mum, or have you actually learnt yourself and taught yourself new techniques?
I think, obviously, if you do it to that level, I'm a self-taught gardener. So I also struggle reading books from the beginning to the end, which is very, very strange because I myself have written one, and it took me 18 months. So I can actually sit down and focus to the exclusion of everything if I'm very interested in something. But I myself cannot read a book from the beginning to the end. So, when my publisher said, make sure that if you read a book and you take some content from those books, tell us, because obviously, and I said, don't worry, because I never read any books. So there's no danger that I copy anybody's books because I hardly read them. But I do take, I would obviously read certain books, and there is a book that I would, just go and look things up. But I believe that the more you do yourself, the more you learn. And sometimes you learn things that nobody else has tried or practiced, and then you invent new things.
Now, you really do know your stuff when it comes to propagation. The garden where you are now has been largely propagated by plants from your mother-in-law's garden and I guess other people's.
Yes, I think. About 90% of all plants growing in my garden, I have propagated or have grown them from seeds. I have to say, obviously, you learn, it's probably thousands of plants because I have quite a big garden. So you do learn and you feel it differently. It's not just, taking cuttings. I almost feel like those plants. I can get kind of, it's a different, you develop different bond with plants if you do it to that extent.
And I love the one thing I love about propagation is I think you learn more about how a plant grows. If you propagate it, it starts to grow. You see it from its infancy.
Totally, totally. And I believe that there is a special, as I said, it could be a bond or I can't even describe because, as you know, I sometimes missing the right words. Relationship with plants that you develop when you propagate them instead of buying is so meaningful, and it's so from a mental health point of view, I get so much positive energy from plants that I have propagated, and I can't describe what it is, but. Maybe, I don't know if anyone feels the same, but there is something truly incredible, almost like nothing that people mention in books, because most propagation, most books, horticultural books about propagation are very factual and written in quite a scientific way. So there is no space for emotions. but I feel emotions when I propagate plants, and I feel emotions, quite deep emotions, when I'm with my plants that I have propagated, which is something that not many people mention.
I'm not going to mention any book names, but I've read books on propagation and I've got a lot of them because it's a subject that I adore. But the word that you've just used then, emotion, runs through the words in your book. It's not a scientific, sterile book. It's full of emotion, full of great topics, great subjects, great propagation tips, and more. So yeah,
Oh.
you must be absolutely thrilled with how it's turned out.
Yes, I feel obviously the book is my first book, so it's something as completely new experience, but it does feel books can be, again, can be very dry, and especially if they are full of instructions. But I think I feel that my book is almost like, when you're expecting a baby, and you think of that, or you take a you have a pet, and you think, what will I do with that pet, or what will my baby be, and what will happen in the future? Will my dog love going for walks, or will my dog do this, or can I take it traveling? And when you write a book, it's a bit like that, that the book becomes a living kind of thing. It's not only a dry, few pages. It's so much more.
Now, the garden you're in at the moment, you say it's a larger garden, 90% propagated from plants that you have propagated. What was it like when you first got there, and how did you start that creation of this beautiful garden?
When we bought the house, we mainly bought the house because of the purple emperors. I don't know if you've heard. It's one of the rarest British butterflies, and they live at the bottom of my garden. And when we found out that we have purple emperor, that we will have purple emperors, we were sure that's the place for us. So we had the purple emperors, but we didn't have a one single decent plant growing in the garden. So you get something, but then you're missing something else. So when we arrived, the house, which is quite part of the house, is very old. It's over 300 years old, and they have the previous owner has developed the property, and obviously hired builders that were not keen on plants because they got rid of every single one. They basically flattened this place, and there was nothing. There was absolutely not a single plant. And when I share my before and after pictures, this is so obvious to people because it really looks, apart from a mole and a mung jug, we had nothing else.
So a lot of work that was put into the garden. And I understand that around 2016, a personal crisis led you to go out there and start digging. Would you mind sharing some of that story with us?
So it was actually very, when I think of my garden, I think the story did not start very, very positive, but I always share, and this is my own quote, I always say, it doesn't matter where you come from and how your story began, you can write your happy ending. And creating my own garden, in a way, was writing my own happy ending, because so much positivity came out of it. And it was actually in 2011, when I was pregnant myself, my sister was pregnant, and sadly, over the years, there were so many things happening, but sadly she lost two of her sons, and I obviously have mine. And knowing what being kind of f facing the challenges, which lasted about 6 years, messages from home, devastating news from home, made me just feel totally broken. And I was a young mom myself, and I was on maternity leave. When you're at home with a newborn, you don't even have the time, or if you haven't got any help, you can't even go for a run, to basically get rid of all the emotions. So the only thing I had was the garden. And I think it was my mother-in-law that started seeing I was really struggling, And she said, you should start gardening. I think initially I have, it was, I in fact, I remember that so well because my mom phoned me and she told me what has happened. And I took a spade and I started digging because that was the only form of kind of exercising. And from that moment, I almost went back to my roots again, the roots on the cuttings, and I went to my roots. So everything that my mom taught me, and I started propagating.
And that was from that devastating situation, as you say, you wrote your own ending, a happier ending, which is such a positive story for everybody out there.
Yes, totally. I think, grief comes in waves. And sometimes, when you process things, you think you are okay, and then something triggers it, and your grief comes as a wave. But I always think, like surfers, when the wave comes, I just jump on the wave and I go with it until, and I kind of, accept it. I think that this garden helped me to heal my broken heart. Obviously, I never forget what has happened, but I started thinking I could probably help other people because so much positivity that I have received over the years, and I stayed sane. I had moments where I thought I'm going to really need some serious help, but the garden and the process of creating it totally helped me.
So you've talked then about helping other people. Is this the time when you actually started thinking about social media? And if that was, did you have a plan and did you imagine you would be where you are now?
I don't think I planned doing what I'm doing now. I just, when you have ADHD, you have this need of helping others, and this is one of the ADHD traits. And I had it all my life. When I was a little girl at school, I was always helping others. I would always be friends with those who nobody wanted to be friends with. Always helping animals and just having the need of making a difference. And when I started sharing my social media content, it was just because I realized how much I have achieved, and how much my garden and creating of this garden has helped me. And I didn't think of the numbers. I didn't think that, I didn't even call myself an influencer, or I didn't even know there was such thing. I just thought that I might help other people. It was in 2020 that I got up one day and I said, I'm going to write a book. I always have a very clear vision for everything I do. I don't see it as I don't plan in detail. I didn't say I want to have that many followers, or but I started having a very clear vision of what I wanted to achieve, because I started seeing the results, the messages that people were sending me. And I realized how meaningful my existence could be, and how full of purpose it could become. And from that moment, I designed a cover of my own book. I put a name on it because this way I thought I will reach a different audience and I will connect with more people and give them hope and help them. And what is it now, 3 years later, or
Yeah.
4 years later, I'm holding my own book.
Now I spoke to you. We did a chat on Instagram. I don't know if you remember. It was the 17th of May 2022, and I asked you for you at that point, what was next for you? And you said, I'd love to do a book. And so here we have the book is actually out now. So how did this come about? You talked about your sort of like your dream of having your own book. What actually happened? Tell us a story about how this has come to creation.
Well, I mean, at first, obviously, it starts with your own idea. If whatever you want to achieve in life, you just plan it and you follow your dream. So for me, from that moment where I have designed that cover of my book, I think I started attracting the right things. And as you know, I create lots of videos on social media, and I got approached by my publisher. And they've been following me for a while, which I didn't know. They said, we really like what you do, and would you be interested in writing a book? And I remember my first thought was, I said, how many words would you need? I write content all the time, but how many words? And they said, about 40,000. And I said, gosh, I wonder if I know that many words in English, especially the horticultural words, because I'm self-taught. I started speaking English 16 years ago. 16 years ago, I couldn't even understand a basic word. So I said, are you sure? And then I just thought, I surely can repeat some words. So I said, yes, I will give it a go.
So, how did you find the writing process? I mean, we've talked about ADHD, and I'd like to talk about that later. But for you, how did you find that first blank page or blank screen? How did you go about it?
I never really thought that I could actually sit down and write a book, but I think I was made to write books. So I found it very, very easy because, it's something that I knew so well, something that I feel so strongly. And obviously I had enough words, which I didn't realize that I had that many. But I think it wasn't a difficult thing for me. It was just a wonderful way of putting your soul and your heart and your knowledge, your skills into one place. And it was just the most magical process, because there's so many people involved in writing a book. But I didn't find it difficult. It was really, really lovely.
And did you have a very structured routine? Would you sit down at a certain time each day, or is it quite sort of fluid?
Yes, I am very sensitive to noise, so I find it very difficult to focus when there is background noise. So I started. I get up quite early, and I was religiously getting up at 5 o'clock. So between 5 and 7, I would write, and some mornings I would produce around 2,000 words. On a session, because it's just the quiet time when everybody's asleep, and the sense of achievement is great when by 9 o'clock you almost feel like you had half a day and you just ticked so many of your boxes.
So, in terms of the content, and I'll touch on that in a moment, the actual design of the book, you talked about earlier that you had this idea of this cover. Have you had any input into the design and how it looks? And they have some great pictures, really helpful pictures as well.
Yes, as a writer, you ha have obviously the last word, so you can say if you like it or not. But I think, I was so lucky to work with such high skilled team, and obviously, it's almost like cooking a really nice dish with some really lovely ingredients, and everybody's mixing and mixing and mixing, and then suddenly we've got this amazing meal. And it was a bit like that. So I would listen to, a book designer who has designed hundreds and hundreds of very successful books. So I would take their advice. They knew, or they all follow me on Instagram, so they know my style. They know that I love simplicity, and just straight to the point. As much information, I said, don't come with empty pages with, I want it all to be as productive as possible and straight to the point, and just focus on simplicity. And I think we have achieved the what we wanted, what I wanted, and what they wanted.
You most certainly have. It's the layout, the visuals, simple, effective, to the point. And for those, I mean, there can't be many people who don't follow you on social media. Over 1 million people follow you. So for anybody who doesn't, let me just sort of share some of the content. Division, propagating succulents, sowing seeds, layering. Gosh, so many people don't layer plants, and it's such a great way to propagate. Dividing perennials, cuttings, lots of projects, and more. So there's loads for everybody, any aspiring gardener, any experienced gardener. It's perfect.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think we have to make a stunning gardens more accessible for all, and making it too complicated would discourage people to start or to want to continue. So I am the best example how, with few basic tools and hardly any money spent, you can create something truly amazing. So everything I say in the book is true. The fact I don't think we have given the exact amount of money I spend, but I did make a calculation because when the publisher asked me how much money did you spend on your garden, and I remember we sat down with my husband and I said, "So what did we actually buy?" And he said, "Well, we did buy some plants for the hedge. We've got the really big laid hedge." And he said, "Well, that was probably about £100 because we bought them tiny, tiny, bare rooted." I said, "Oh, that's not much." And then we had said, "Oh, and maybe some fruit trees we bought." And I think I rescued some plants from the garden centre. So I think about £1,000. And when the publisher heard £1,000, they said, "If you really spend £1,000 on this garden, then tell us the secret." And there it is. The money-saving gardener is the secret.
And I remember when we spoke in 2022, you said then £1,000, because I had to listen to our chat before we spoke today. £1,000. So, in the overall scheme of things, £1,000 on a beautiful garden, a garden that will last for years, those memories, those emotions, what a fantastic investment. But to be able to propagate and get plants for free, oh, I'm with you all the way on that, absolutely. So the book will be published on the 8th of February. How has the process been? Now you've finished the writing, it's a promotion. How busy are you now promoting the book?
I'm very busy. We have a huge interest from the press. So I am now very, very busy doing various projects, working on getting ready for public talking, traveling around the country, obviously promoting my book. But it's truly incredible, and I'm so glad that I will be able to inspire people. Because just before I got approached by the publisher, I actually lost motivation. And I think I have achieved everything I wanted at that point from my social media, and I was going to walk away from it. So it was only a few weeks before I got approached by the publisher that I was going to quit. And it's sometimes it's incredible because I know there are so many people who are just like me, creating content and they wanting to grow their account because they think they might become a very well-known influencer, or maybe some of them will write books, or maybe they will become TV presenters. There's so many opportunities if you deliver good quality content, and if you're consistent, if you have a good story. But so many people lose that motivation at some point because it's such hard work to keep up. And especially if your account doesn't grow, you think, "Well, I spend so much time doing it." So I was so close to giving up. And only a few weeks before that, that was all, only a few weeks before that. And I often say that's one of my other quotes is that today, even if today you feel heartbroken or low or you lost your motivation, tomorrow could be the best day of your life, because this happened to me. I totally lost my motivation. There were a few things that have happened that made me feel slightly underestimated, and I just thought, nobody will ever give me a chance to do something with my horticultural knowledge, because this isn't my language. I am not a horticulturist. There are so many talented people out there. There's so much competition, and I will never be given that chance to achieve what I actually wanted. And I'm very ambitious, so I knew that that nobody will give me that chance. And I was just about to walk away, and that was a few days later. It was the best day of my life because when I got approached by the publisher, it was truly incredible. It gave me so much self-belief that someone on such level would believe in me and wanting me to write a book that will be translated in all languages around the world. And that was probably one of the best days of my life.
Wow, there must have been a collective gasp around the world from people thinking you could have closed your account. Please, please, now you've got the book, carry on onwards and upwards. And but what a such a positive message for anybody out there in that situation feeling demotivated.
Absolutely. Just keep going. If you believe in if what you do means a lot to you and you believe in it, there is no way that the universe will not come to you and just make everything work.
What a great message. Now, I want to pick up on something you said then. You said that you have very, very high standards and expectations. Now, is this part of your ADHD? And how did you know? How was that identified that you had ADHD? How do people know whether their loved ones are living with ADHD?
Well, I think it's a mixture of things. You know, my upbringing was very strict, and there's a lot of expectations from me as a child. So that was something that I grew up with, and I always pushed myself to the limits. And later in life, when my son was, I think he was about 8 or 9, he got diagnosed. It's very often the case that the kids get diagnosed first, and then the moms or dads, because it's genetic, start putting things together. And I could see so many of his traits in myself, and I just thought, actually, I think it might be also am I in with me that I have ADHD. So I then contacted my GP, and they sent me a form which I sat with for about a year. So I didn't feel, I struggle with filling forms, which is such an irony. You know, they send you the ADHD forms to an ADHD person. So I had this form, it was 16 pages. Even opening the pages was like, oh God, I will never fill it up. So a year later, I got back to them and I said, oh, actually, I would like to do this. And they said, well, too late. Now is the waiting list. Put yourself on the waiting list. And in 3 years' time, we will chat to you. So I said, God, how stupid of me to be, my ADHD. So I then contacted a private clinic, and sadly had to pay for it. But I did all my tests, and I then realized that because it's so difficult for people to get their assessment and the diagnosis, that I could actually help people by sharing what I have learned. And then I also went the longest route, which you could choose to go, having an ADHD coach that worked with me. And every week I would have sessions and they would teach me things, how to deal with ADHD, and just to understand more so I can help other people and also young kids. I'm very, very passionate about helping kids, and make their life hopefully easier than my own life was when I was their age.
And I think there's more awareness of ADHD these days than perhaps there was earlier, which is great because it's out there. We know about it, we talk about it, we can see the benefits of being able to understand how to work with people with ADHD.
Totally. And when I was when I got approached by the publisher, when I signed the contract, there was one thing that I was so pleased about, that I will be able to raise awareness, that the book will become my tool to raise awareness about ADHD, because I only came to this country 16 years ago. When I arrived, someone picked me up and asked me, how was your journey? I couldn't understand what they said. And 16 years later, I have written a horticultural book. So my brain absorbed all that information, which sometimes I even think, well, how did I manage to, all the varieties of different names of plants? And this is only because of my ADHD. And that's why I think it's my superpower.
Yeah, it's so positive to hear that you've turned that into a real positive. And the message to anybody out there who may be living with ADHD or suspects they may have ADHD or their family, it's a positive. It can be such a positive thing, which is such great news.
Oh, totally. And especially when our society is driven by results in, schools are all about, which level is your child on with reading and writing. And often those very clever kids, with different way of thinking, which our world desperately needs, they leave school feeling like they're failing, feeling really low, and a lot of them will end up with depression and not believing in themselves, where actually they are very clever and capable of so much more.
It's the mindset, isn't it? And when you talked earlier about the personal situation that you went through and how you turned that into a positive, we all have a choice, I guess, as to how we react and move forward from whatever situation we find ourselves in life.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just turning. When I look at my lavender hedge, I always think how I turned all the sadness and challenges into something positive, and how much positivity came out of it. And anyone can do it. Whatever you face, whether it's loss, grief, challenges, it's up to you what you are going to do with it. And remember, you are the one that can write your happy ending story.
Yeah, such a good line that really is. You talked about your boys then, and I wondered, are there any aspiring gardeners in the family? Are your boys showing an interest in gardening, nature, wildlife?
Oh, absolutely. My kids were my boys were very well known in all the schools they go to. They people used to say, "Oh, the older one that will be the next David Attenborough," which I really hope that will be the case. They are extremely wildlife friendly, and I think this is why I'm so passionate about it. Because it was actually my son when he was 3 years old, I got told off for using slug pellets. And I openly say that I used to use them years ago, because we all learn, we all educate ourselves. But I remember he stopped me and he said, "I can't believe it that you are using slug pellets. Did you not know how bad they are for the environment?" I think I'm the only person that gets quite emotional when I hear the word "a bottle of slug pellets," because I was so impressed that he has absorbed all that knowledge from us. My husband breeds moths and butterflies, so we both, we constantly, the kids are constantly exposed to caterpillars and moths, and we're rescuing all sorts of wildlife. So I was so grateful and pleased that they are such, that they care about the environment, and they totally. It's all about animals and wildlife and environment.
That's great. And how did the kids, how do your boys feel about mum's success on social media and now a book with so many pre-orders? How do they feel? Do they talk about that to you? Do you talk about it to them?
Oh, I think, we're not we aren't really that well. I think we care so much about all the other things, like the environment, and but they do from time to time. When they go to school, my son says sometimes, "Oh, my teacher, she follows you on Instagram," or so my other son says, "Oh, are you famous yet? Are you famous yet?" So they do sometimes when people say, or sometimes people sometimes even stop me on the when we go on holidays a few times. I got stopped by people, and my family is just, it's something a bit new to us, but yes, it feels quite well, it's quite amazing because people know so much about you, and you feel slightly exposed.
Yeah, I can get that, absolutely. Now, again, going back to when we first spoke, you described yourself when we had that conversation, that interview in 2022, as a hobby gardener. Has that moved on? Have you moved away from being a hobby gardener now? Please.
I think I still, I mean, obviously, I am a self-taught. I think that self-taught is probably a better description. I think they say when you start earning money with what you do, it stops being a hobby, which I think it's still my hobby. But it's a hobby that turned into something so much bigger. And on so many levels, because it's not only about the gardening, it's about raising awareness and bringing that positivity to our society. So I think I would like to become a motivational speaker and mix the horticultural knowledge with the mental health and the neurodiversity, and also motivate people to achieve their goals and find the positivity on their way and turning challenges and make something out of it. So I'm probably still the self-taught gardener and now a writer.
But doing extremely well. And I think the one thing I've picked up on today in our conversation, you have continually said to help other people, to help other people, to show other people how to do things. So that really is just, again, such a positive to be able to share knowledge, skills, and experience, whether it's about plants, ADHD, or whatever. Such a great thing to be able to help other people who are looking for help these days.
Yes, totally. Do you know your life becomes more meaningful, and you get such a sense of accomplishment when you make a difference to other people's lives. And there are two ways of dealing with challenges and with things that I have experienced, you know, the sadness and grief and loss. There is one which you can just see yourself a bit like a victim and you can grieve for the rest of your life, or you can take all that experience and make a difference to your society, to your community, and bring that positive change into people's lives. And I think I realized that I was given the tools to make a change. And I have a great amount, a huge amount of positivity from helping other people, far greater than just being paid for, you know, whatever, you know, small little things. It really is. It fills my world with a huge sense of satisfaction and purpose.
It must have been, it's a real calling for you, which is lovely to hear. Now, you've talked about perhaps being a speaker, and I've just wondered what's next for Anya. Do you have any plans, another book, or are there other things on your professional bucket list you would like to try and explore now?
Yes, I think, do you know, sometimes people say that everybody has got a book in them. I think I've got quite a few. So I'm definitely, and I like the process. I think it's, as they say, you know, one success will lead to the next, because the buzz you get from it and the positivity is huge. So I think, you know, I can see myself in so many different situations, and again, the ability to adapt. And the challenges that I love challenges. A few years ago, as you know, I do lots of voiceovers, and I had obviously English isn't my language, first language, so I have struggles to sometimes describe things, and I often Google the pronunciations, but the only thing that I cannot find is pronunciations of plants. I'm lucky because my husband is a botanist, so I keep asking him, and he says, and then I repeat, and I keep repeating. But that was a massive barrier for me to record voiceovers, because I, you know, I thought people will start trolling me, and they will say, you know, where's she from, and what is she teaching us here, British people, you know, about gardening. She can hardly speak English, and that was kind of a barrier for me. It's just in my head, you know, but those things you have to overcome and use it as your unique selling point, because I thought, you know, I'm obviously sounding completely different to everybody else, but this way people will remember me. And gradually I started, so I have absolutely no fear now, but that was one of my kind of barriers that were stopping me from going to the next stage. And now, if I would like to develop and maybe go and do, you know, could do a TV show, or I go on the radio, if I have those fears, I wouldn't be able to move on, and I wouldn't be able to develop and achieve greater things. So I kind of taught myself to overcome that fear. So I see myself on, you know, I could even be doing all sorts of things. I think I'm ready to take it to another level.
Just picking up on that, I think we can all put barriers in our own minds, and that's fine. But the most important thing is to kick those barriers down and just push through and work past them and see them as being positives. Talking about other things, we talked about the Chelsea Flower Show when we spoke. I mean, you said that you love going into the flower show to see how plants are put together. Chelsea Flower Show, Main Avenue, a garden.
You just the thing you see with books is that the books open doors. Because if you are capable of writing a book, people then start believing in you, and they think, okay, if so, there could be so many things. I am definitely going to use whatever I do. It will be linked to raising awareness about ADHD and also dyslexia, autism, and other neurodivergent conditions. So I think, the greater my audience, the more people will listen to my voice and will bring such a massive change. So whatever comes my way, at the moment, I've got a PR team, and they send me messages daily, and they say, "Oh, would you be interested in this?" I almost feel like I could just press the button and say, yes, please. I do it. I do anything." So I basically say yes to whatever comes my way, and then later I can probably decide, "Oh, I probably enjoy this," or I'm more successful in whatever I will be doing. But yeah, I'm not saying no. Whatever comes my way, I will be there.
Well, I wish you success with whatever does come your way. I know you will make such a go of it. So I look forward to seeing what does come next for Annie Lautenbach, the Garden Fairy. And just to remind everybody, the Money Saving Gardener from DK Books on the 8th of February, a real treat of a book. And it's been a treat chatting to you today, Annie. It really has. Thank you so much for taking time out of your really busy schedule.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, my thanks to Anya for taking time out of her schedule to come and chat with us today. And I just know you will love her new book, The Money Saving Gardener. I was lucky enough to be sent a copy, and it's packed with useful, helpful, and easy to follow information and some great pictures to explain what's happening. So thank you for that, Anya. You can follow Anya by popping over to her Instagram account, where you will find her as Anya_thegarden_fairy. And whilst you're there, if you don't already follow me, I'm Mike_thegardener. My thanks to you for listening today, as always, and if you are able to leave a review, that would be wonderful. And I will be back next week with another exciting episode of the Mike the Gardener Gardening Podcast. So I will see you then. Bye bye for now. Bye bye.